How about breaking up your day with a little fake commute? It's the business news headlines for Tuesday, the 12th day of January. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Gig workers in California are going to court to fight Proposition 22. Wall Street and a choppy trade day today. A growing number of Congress people are now testing positive for COVID-19. Meanwhile, banks are shutting down funding for the Trump business. Speaking of banks, Wells Fargo is trying something new. We've got a lottery story that will interest you and the Wall Street Report Plus, a look at the jobs that are in demand right now. Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of Taro International, a training company that helps business leaders succeed. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro. TERO.com. Focus and Find, socially responsible recruiting, centered on helping businesses build a diverse workforce that is both innovative and productive. FocusandFind.com. Insight on Business, the News Hour, is also supported by the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original ag parts recyclers with members worldwide. Learn more at ntpda.com. And Arion, a solutions provider, bringing unique and scalable business support services and serving for-profit and nonprofit organizations. Aureon.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and yeah, you can follow us on Twitter all day long at IOB_NewsHour. Well, just to prove to you that we are an enterprising bunch, there is now the fake commute. Here's the story. Researchers are recommending the practice of a walk around the block or a stop at your local coffee shop pickup counter or your favorite drive-thru. Many workers have replaced their pre-coronavirus commutes with allotted time around their work shifts when they break away from what can be the monotony of working from home. This is now known as, yeah, you guessed it, the fake commute. It's brought about by not having a clear dividing line in your work week, so take a walk midday. Good advice. CBS News is reporting that drivers for Uber, Lyft, and other app-based services filed a lawsuit today to overturn a California ballot initiative that classifies them as independent contractors instead of employees that are eligible for benefits and job protections. The lawsuit, filed with the California Supreme Court, contends that Proposition 22 is unconstitutional. Why? Well, because it limits the power of the state legislature to grant workers the right to organize and excludes drivers from eligibility for workers' compensation. The measure, which was passed in November with 58% support, was the most expensive in state history. DoorDash, Lyft, Uber, and other app-based companies spent about $200 million in support of it. Meanwhile, labor unions, which joined drivers in the lawsuit, spent about $20 million to oppose the measure. It is now headed to court. Well, it was a choppy trade day on Wall Street as the major averages struggled to stay above the flat line and avoid yet another day of losses. And at the bell, the Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P 500 all finished in the green. Meanwhile, interest rates ticked up slightly, and there is growing optimism for more coronavirus stimulus under the Biden administration. I'll share those numbers with you in just a bit. With growing COVID-19 cases and falling employment, the incoming Biden administration will be facing a mounting, not waning, crisis. So say some senior economists as they look at not only COVID-19, but also some depressing job numbers. Ready? Here we go. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, in November, the number of job openings softened to 6.5 million from 6.6 million the previous month. Yet, hires were essentially unchanged. Meanwhile, layoffs rose to 2 million from 1.7 million on the month. There were 10.7 million unemployed workers, but only 6.5 million job openings in November. Now, that translates into a job seeker ratio of about 1.6 unemployed workers for every job opening. The trend has been labeled as troubling by the Economic Policy Institute and is the basis for calling for more federal stimulus dollars to flow to the population. It is now being labeled as more than an insurrection. The riot at the nation's capital is now a super spreader event. A growing number of lawmakers are testing positive for COVID-19 after being forced to crowd together in a secure space during Wednesday's mob attack on the Capitol. At least three House members have tested positive in the past 24 hours. Democratic Representatives Bonnie Watson-Coleman, Pamela Jayapal, and Brad Schneider all were in this secure space where security officials ushered hundreds of lawmakers to shelter in place as rioters in support of President Trump rampaged the Capitol. Lawmakers are revealing their diagnosis voluntarily. It's not yet clear who else in the room had COVID-19 or who has since tested positive after being exposed. Democrats are furious that several House Republicans in the room were not wearing masks in violation of rules in place since July, requiring masks on the House floor and in surrounding office buildings. Meanwhile, and in a related development, Bloomberg is reporting that Professional Holding Corporation said it would no longer provide banking service to President Donald Trump's company. The bank is joining other lenders in distancing themselves from him after last week's assault on the Capitol. Deutsche Bank and Signature Bank, two of Trump's favored lenders, also pulled away from the billionaire president since the January 6th deadly riot by the president's supporters. Speaking of banks, today we learned that Wells Fargo is trying something new. It's all in an effort to work on what has been a PR nightmare. The Motley Fool is reporting that Wells Fargo is launching a new advisory group inside the bank to improve sales practices and enhance customers' experiences. Duties of the new division include analyzing and making recommendations on the bank's products and services, engaging in the product development process, reviewing complaints and other data, and advising all aspects of how Wells Fargo interacts with its customers. You know, everybody knows that the odds of winning the lottery are very low, but that doesn't keep Americans from forking over their hard-earned money in the hope of becoming instantly wealthy. 24/7 Wall Street reports that on average, an American adult spent about $320 on lottery tickets in 2019. Now, the figure varies widely across the country. In five states, the typical adult spent less than $100 per year on lottery tickets, while in five other states, lottery spending per adult exceeds $500. Meanwhile, lottery spending per person nearly hits $1,000 in one state. So who gets the nod? Massachusetts tops the list with lottery spending per adult of $991 each. Total lottery ticket sales across the state stand at $5.5 billion a year. Massachusetts is also among the richest states based on median household incomes of $85,843 a year, the second highest, by the way, in the country. You want to know who the highest income state in the nation is? Sure, we'll tell you. Maryland, at $86,738. See what you learn here? Stocks wobbled but ended the trading day slightly ahead. At the bell, the Dow finished up by 60 points at 31,068. The NASDAQ, that had been taking a beating during the Monday trade, gained 36 points to close at 13,072. And the S&P 500 was, well, mostly flat at 3801. Investors broadly expect stocks to rally this year as the nation rolls out more vaccine and the promise of further government stimulus and spending to help the economy recover at a more brisk clip. And finally, there is this. A number of career fields saw increased demand over the past year despite the challenges imposed by the pandemic. A LinkedIn analysis found 15 areas, ranging from loan officers to education roles, that saw the most growth and demand. Many of the fields, like nursing and e-commerce, saw increased demand driven by the pandemic. Other events, such as Black Lives Matter protests, also led to demand for experts in areas like diversity. Now you know. Well, that's a wrap on today's edition of the Business News Headlines. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Headlines, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.